o'clock on a Friday afternoon, but a very eventful Friday afternoon, as round two and round three is tonight. But we're not talking about round two or round three, Wolf. We're talking about round one. Cardinals got the guy that we've been hoping they would get for 4 months, and now he's joining us on the Arizona Sports Line. Marvin Harrison Jr. is joining us on the Arizona Sports Line. Marvin, thank you for the time. I know it's been a whirlwind, but how are you doing?
I'm doing great right now. I couldn't be more happy on where I landed. I'm super excited to be here as on the Cardinal.
Nice. Marvin, really appreciate you joining us right now. I'm going to start with this, okay? I know you've been asked an awful lot of questions, but I want to start with this one right here.
Yes, sir.
What is your favorite route to run, and why?
I like to run all the routes. You know, whatever route is going to help us, you know, put some points on the board and, you know, get us the wins. I mean, that's a route that I'm going to run to, you know, my best ability, but I want to say I have a favorite at the moment.
You had mentioned right there at the beginning that you wanted to be an Arizona Cardinal, and Paris Johnson Jr. has been lobbying for you to be an Arizona Cardinal for a while.
Yes.
How long were you kind of looking at this situation and saying it might be a possibility?
Really since the draft before, when I just got drafted in, the ones that drafted Paris, I mean, I kind of knew that was, you know, maybe a possibility the following year that you know, the Cardinals could be positioned to take me. So just talking with Paris, it's kind of crazy how it all happened, like a full circle moment that we have to, you know, be teammates again.
Well, the Cardinals seem to take Ohio State players in the first round every year, so eventually you're going to have to give us a scouting report on next year. You know that, right?
Right, I will. I certainly will.
All right.
Marvin, does your dad work with you in terms of route running, or is that a little too close? I mean, does your dad coach you, or is...
No, he certainly does. He certainly coaches me. You know, he's very detailed in his work. But, you know, that's why he was as good as he was, and I'm just trying to follow his footsteps. So, you know, I take his coaching and try to listen to him as much as I can.
How much did it help? I mean, obviously to have a dad who's a Hall of Famer at the same position you play, but even just to grow up around the NFL, and I would imagine that makes it a little bit easier where you're not going to be surprised by a whole lot just in terms of the lifestyle.
Absolutely, man. I just know how to be a pro. That's kind of what I've been living my whole life. You know, this is not going to be my first time, you know, actually being professional, but just how he approached his business, you know, how he prepared for the game on Sundays. I've kind of taken the same approach, you know, in my own career. So I think I'm definitely ready.
Marvin Harrison Jr. joining us here on the Wolf and Luke Show. Marvin, how do you build chemistry with a quarterback? How do you do that?
Repetition, doing it over and over again. And hopefully one day, you know, me and the quarterback, Kyler, can just go out there with our eyes closed and just complete passes. But it just, you know, takes a lot of reps. So I think that's all I'll start, you know, in practice, when no one else is watching, just, you know, the extra route running and throwing sessions that we may do. It all's going to start from there. But just building that chemistry, you know, one day we can go out there just with our eyes closed and complete some passes.
Would it? I'm assuming you saw the video. I'm sure you know how excited Kyler was to see that the Cardinals drafted you. What does that do, you know, for you? You're a young guy breaking into this league and a pretty established quarterback. Is this excited?
I know. I mean, it means a lot, really. From the support and love of your quarterback. I mean, now it's just my job to go out there and, you know, earn his trust on the football field. So that's what I'm going to try to do.
Marvin, do you feel like you have to prove anything?
You guys have to prove a lot of things. You don't come in here with any entitlement just because you were drafted, you know, fourth overall or one of the first receivers on the board. That doesn't mean nothing. You have to go in here, produce, earn the trust of your teammates, earn the trust of your coaches. You have a lot to prove. So no matter where you got drafted, I don't think, you know, you're entitled to anything. So, yes, I have a lot to prove.
Marvin, you get a lot of comps, obviously, to your dad, and we've heard the comps to Larry Fitzgerald. Those are pretty big shoes to fill. Do you like the comps, or do you just kind of want to carve your own path now?
I mean, both. I think definitely an honor to be mentioned, you know, in the same category as both those guys, both Hall of Fame receivers. But yeah, I think definitely want to, you know, create my own path, create my own legacy as well. I'm going to do my best I can do that.
Marvin, you seem like a really humble guy to me. And if I'm right about that, where does that humility come from?
I think maybe just from my dad. Just how he, you know, went about his business. He was not, you know, one that, you know, was great showmanship or anything like that. So he just always went out there and, you know, did his job and was a great teammate. So that's what I try to do as well.
We're talking to Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin, obviously lofty expectations that's going to come with, you know, the season and the career you had at Ohio State and where you were picked. Just in your mind, what does a successful rookie season look like?
Helping the team get some wins, really. I think, you know, I came here, Monty, the GM, he drafted me, and Coach JJ, they drafted me to help the team get some wins. So that's what I'm going to try to do. Now, whatever role that may be, I'm going to try to do my best ability to perform in that role. But at the end of the day, I just want to help the team get some wins.
Marvin, if you weren't playing football, what would you be doing?
Oof, I don't know. Football has kind of been, you know, my whole life. So we'll see, you know, what happens after football. But playing football is always my dream and my goal, and I'm super happy that I've reached it.
Did you, I'm assuming Marvin Harrison Sr. is the answer here, but besides him, did you have specific favorite players growing up that you watched and you wanted to play like?
Oh, yeah, definitely my dad. I think seeing Larry catch everything that was thrown his way, definitely, you know, that was inspiring as well. I mentioned Larry, so, I mean, there's a lot of receivers that I watch, and I try to take bits and pieces from everyone, but, you know, being a Cardinal now, I think I definitely watch some more Larry film and see anything I can take away from him.
So, Marvin, why Ohio State? Why did you choose Ohio State? Because I'm sure you had many, many other offers. Why Ohio State?
Yeah, I think you look at the schools that produce the most defensive backs and wide receivers. I think Ohio State is right up there with, you know, both categories. So, you want to be surrounded by other great receivers to push you, you know, not only in the receiver room, but on the practice field as well. And then, you know, on the practice field, you want to go against the best DBs. So, and kind of having that mindset of going in there and competing and being with the best players led me towards Ohio State.
We're talking to Marvin Harrison Jr. Marvin, you just did that press conference with Darius Robinson. We don't know as much about him as we feel like we do about you, but it seems like you know him, and he seems like a character. What can you tell us about Darius Robinson?
Yeah, he's a great guy. I mean, I just learned he had 2 degrees. So, I mean, obviously, you know, he's very well educated. He's a tremendous football player, and I was super excited when we picked him. I got to watch him from afar in the Cotton Bowl, I think, when Ohio State played Missouri. And I was on the sideline for that game, but no, he was just tearing our offense up, and I'm just super excited that we're now teammates.
Marvin, did you know before the draft that you were going to be an Arizona Cardinal? Did you have
a I did not. I did not know until I got that draft call from the Arizona Cardinals and Monty.
As a show, certainly as a fan base, there's been a lot of people were hoping you would be the pick for about 4 months. Were you able to get that sense of how much the Cardinals fans wanted you in addition to the team?
Yeah, I think I definitely saw the video afterwards, having, the Bird Gang and the Red Sea react to me getting drafted. And that means a lot to me, just the support from them already, even though I haven't stepped on the field yet. I'm going to do my best to go out there, each and every Sunday, play for them and make them proud.
I know you haven't played for him yet, but Jonathan Gannon, do you have any impressions of him, or what was he like in the interviews?
I mean, he's a great guy, great guy. The competitor, really wants to win, really smart. I just cannot speak more highly of him. Definitely, and all the coaches that I've met, my 30 visits at the combine, I just love his energy, love his passion of the game, just who he is as a person. So, super excited to play for him. He's one of those coaches that you want to go out there and play as hard as you can, so you can make him proud and make him look good. So that's what I'm going to try to do.
So, do you have any plans, Marvin, of actually moving here? Do you know when that might be the case that you might move here, or what are your off-season plans here?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have to move here very soon. Got, rookie minicamp coming up, and OTAs, all the different off-season workouts before training camp. So hopefully I can get the moving process started soon, and I'm super excited to be in the Valley. I've heard nothing but great things about here, so like I said, I cannot be more excited.
Right on, bud.
Well, Marvin, we appreciate the time. I know you got a lot going on here, but we're looking forward to your career as an Arizona Cardinal. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you guys.
Yep, absolutely.
Thank you.
That's Marvin Harrison Jr. joining us right there on the Arizona Sports Line. It's interesting that he would bring up Larry Fitzgerald. I think that's just genuine, not just playing to the audience. I don't think if he was drafted by the Chargers, he would have been bringing up, I don't know who the Chargers' best receiver would be, Keenan Allen maybe. But I don't know, he's getting compared to some of the greatest of all time. And I thought his answer was interesting of yeah, I like it, but also I'm trying to do my own thing, right? I mean, that's kind of the way you have to approach that.
Yeah, I love the fact that he said he had a lot to prove. That right there, I think, was probably my favorite cut. You got a guy that is so wildly talented, the way that Marvin Harrison Jr. is based in Orleans, and yet he understands, I've got a lot to prove. I absolutely love, that was my favorite thing that he said. because, you know, sometimes when you have the kind of incredible talent that this guy does have, sometimes you get this feeling of, I don't have to prove anything. I'm so good and everyone knows that I'm good. Now, again, it's not like you're going to say that to anybody. Yet at the same time, if you listen to his answer and you read between the lines, you can tell, man, he was being 100% straight up. And I love that answer.
I just like the fact that we've now heard that he has two jobs from Monty Austin Fort and Marvin Harrison Jr., but they were two different sets of jobs. Because Monty said his job is to get open and catch the ball. Marvin Harrison Jr. said his job is to run fast and score touchdowns.
Yes.
So I guess they're all connected, but it sounds like he now has four jobs already.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, and again, I'm just very, very encouraged right now, Luke, because of what he said in regard to that. We're going to play that again. Are we not, Mel? We'll play that when we come back.
Yeah, you guys have proved a lot of things. You don't come in here with any entitlement just because you were drafted, you know, fourth overall or one of the first receivers on the board. That doesn't mean nothing. You have to go in here, produce, earn trust of your teammates, earn trust of your coaches. You have a lot to prove. So no matter where you got drafted, I don't think, you know, you're entitled to anything. So yes, I have a lot to prove.
I like that you challenged her.
So
like, can you have
right
that
there
by the time we come back?
I
and
know,
she
that
played
was
it before you could finish
in
asking
my face. Man.
Embrace the Suns playoffs and go all in with Arizona Sports. Tune in daily at 8 a.m., noon, and 3 o'clock to snag our exclusive Phoenix Suns code word, and then text that code word to 620-620 for your shot at scoring Suns playoff tickets. Don't miss your chance. Tune in today during the 8 a.m., noon, and 3 o'clock hours. When we come back, how's the Suns' communication in the locker room? Down 0-2 heading into tonight. You're going to hear what Kevin Durant had to say about it next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app. Wolf and Luke talk Suns Timberwolves now.
All right, we got Suns T-Wolves game 3 tonight. By the way, thanks to Marvin Harrison Jr. and the Cardinals for that interview. It was good to talk to him after 4 months of hoping the Cardinals would draft him. It was good to get to talk to him there. For the Suns tonight, we were talking about this earlier, Wolf, probably a must win. History shows you it is actually a must win. So everything on the line for this team tonight, it's been such... It's just been such a strange season. Like I was saying this earlier, it almost doesn't even feel like they're in the playoffs right now. Normally, when the Suns are in the playoffs, there's just crazy buzz about the Suns around the city. Now, that might be because it's been such a disjointed season. It also might be because they haven't won a playoff game yet. Like, I do think once you win a playoff game, it really kind of jumpstarts everything.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. You know, tonight I want to see, especially out of the big three, out of Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, and Bradley Beal, I want to see them prove it. I want to see them adopt that mentality of just saying, we've got it, we've got our backs against the wall, individually and collectively right now, and it's time to go out and prove who we are and how talented this team is. What do you say we go out and do it at home at the Footprint Center? Here we go. Game 3. Let's prove it. Use that motivation. Use that drive to carry this team going forward. Because once again, it's going to take more than talent. It's going to be talent and toughness. I want to see that toughness. And that toughness comes from a mentality that says you have to prove everything. So prove it.
This is Kevin Durant yesterday. He was asked if he feels the communication on this team is good right now.
Yeah, I think so. We just didn't play. We just didn't play well. We just didn't execute it. You could talk all you want. If you don't execute what you just talked about, it does you no good, you know? So, yeah, talking and the rah-rah speeches and all that stuff is cool to a certain point, but you got to go out there and execute. I mean, we haven't done that. We've done it in spurts, don't get me wrong, throughout this series, but it's not good enough doing it in spurts, you know? So sometimes you just got to do it instead of thinking too much or talking too much. And I think we got guys that done that before who've understood that, you know, it's just about getting the job done at the end of the day, regardless of what's being said or how you feel or what's on your heart as a person or player. Just get your job done. I think we'll do that, but we got to put it together consistently. And I think that's what our season's been. Sometimes we put it together for long stretches, and then sometimes we don't.
I thought that kind of sounded a little bit different. Didn't you?
How?
I don't know. The first time we played it, I was like, yeah, okay. You know, KD, I'll give the guy credit because he's one of the most scrutinized players probably in NBA history. But he doesn't give you a little 5 second, yeah, whatever, we can talk, move on, answers. Like, he gives you thoughtful answers. That's almost a minute long answer right there. But I just thought the way he was doing it, it wasn't just like, yeah, I'm going to give you a thoughtful answer. It kind of felt like, yeah, and this is urgent. I mean, there was a few things in there. He said, like, yeah, we do it sometimes. We need to do it all the time. Yeah, we can talk about it. That doesn't mean anything once the game starts.
Yeah.
I just thought there was a little more of a, not edge, but just like urgency to it.
Yeah, and I think you're probably right about that. They have to be feeling it. All these guys have got to be feeling it right now. It's game three. It is game three. We're at home. We're down 0-2 in this series. It's game three, and we are at home right now. And, oh, by the way, teams that go down 0-3 in a seven-game series in the association, in the NBA, they don't come back to win. They don't, as in never.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Never.
Never happens.
It's never happened. So I don't know how they're not looking at this as if, okay, hey, listen, you know what? It's not a must win until it is a must win, but history says to us right now, and there's a large sample size, history says to us, if we don't win tonight, guys, this series is over. Now, that doesn't mean I'll ever quit. I will never quit. I'll come out and compete in game four just as ferociously as I possibly can in game three. But the fact of the matter says you're not coming back if you go down 0-3 in this series. Are we going to see the Phoenix Suns in their best effort here tonight? And I want to see some emotion. I do. I'm sorry.
I thought that sounded different from KD. I don't think the words necessarily.
Just play harder.
The words sounded different. That really sounded different. But I thought the way he was. Look, maybe it's because somebody was bouncing a ball right next to him. I don't know. But it sounded. His tone was a little bit different. Of like, yeah, it's like time. It's past time, quite honestly. Here's more from Kevin Durant talking about, he was asked how his experience, he's got plenty of playoff experience, 168 games now, 168 playoff games. He was asked how that helps this team now that they are down 2-0 in this series.
Just got to go out there and do your job, man. Like I said, I can give a speech about what it's like in the playoffs or what a series was like going down 0-2 and coming back. Like, I can go give that speech in the locker room all I want. We still got to go out there and execute the game plan that we got in place and go out there and play hard as we can to get this one win. Possession at a time basketball, you know? So, yeah, all that stuff is cool, but at the end of the day, like, these guys know what it is around this time. Like, it's playoff time. Like, everybody understands this, so I don't think we got to do anything extra.
Yeah, you know, I totally understand that, but I would say this to the big three, especially KD. I would say don't be afraid to show your emotion. Don't be afraid to show your passion because it has an impact on those around you. It does. I don't care what anybody says. You get a guy like Kevin Durant who's done what Kevin Durant has done. All of the accolades of Kevin Durant, let's just focus on him. If he goes out there and shows emotion and screams, right? Goes out there and gets an and one and screams and dog. Okay, what do you think everyone else is going to think?
Well,
around you.
That's a great point because even as you're saying that, I'm thinking a couple things. One, you know, your teammates can tell if it's an act, but if you're holding it in, don't hold it in.
Yes.
Because the picture you're painting right there, like imagine the Suns at home tonight, big play, maybe they're up by five or something, they go on a run and KD screams or KD is like, whatever his version of it is,
You'll know it when you see it.
Yeah, and there's no way as a teammate to not get fired up by that. There's no way the crowd doesn't get fired up by that. And I'll also say this, Wolf, I know a lot of Suns fans have felt like this season was over months ago, but I'm guessing most of the Suns fans at the game tonight don't feel that way. They still feel like there's a very real chance they can win the series. And there is still a very real chance they can win the series if they win tonight. So I'm guessing that crowd that's there tonight it's not going to take much to amp them up.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, man. But, you know, once again, just genuinely go out there and give what you have. and be locked in, and the intensity level and the focus and the concentration. Tap into the rage tree. This is what I talk about all the time. Tap into the rage tree. Go out there and play some angry basketball, man. Listen, that's not rah-rah. That should be what it is, the intensity level. Our backs are against a wall if we lose this game tonight. So you're going to get our best. Our focus is going to be there. The concentration, the intensity level is going to be there. You're going to get our best, period. And you know what? Don't be afraid to hide that. Don't be afraid to show that.
I was going
to
say, you undercut everything you just said.
Don't be afraid to show that. See, this is what a lack of sleep does to you. Don't be afraid to show that.
And also, just play harder. Else,
because that isn't rah-rah. It isn't. It's not rah-rah. And the impact that your best players have on a team, when they get jacked up and they show emotion, oh, man, what's your problem?
Well, that's it. I mean, tonight really is, it's not like you want to leave anything behind tonight. You want to leave it all on the floor tonight. It's not like, well, we put everything out there and we lost, so now what do we do? It's like, well, if you lose tonight, you're probably screwed anyway. So every ounce of everything you have, you want to leave it on the floor tonight. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, round one is in the books. Went pretty well for the Cardinals. So what do we want to see them do tonight in round two and round three? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Mitch. Darius Robinson is officially an Arizona Cardinal. How will the Mizzou edge rusher play into the Cardinals' defense? Burns and Gamble will give you their thoughts, while they're also getting you ready for Game 3 of Suns Timberwolves live from the FanDuel Sportsbook at Footprint Center, all coming up at 2 on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, look, round two of this draft starts in just a couple hours, and the Cardinals are picking right there, not at the top. Buffalo is picking first in round two because Buffalo just kept trading down last night out of round one. Buffalo, we talked about it on the show last night with Dave Burns, but like Buffalo trading Stephon Diggs to Houston, Buffalo moving, making a pick swap with the Chiefs so the Chiefs can move up and get Xavier Worthy, like, Buffalo realizes these are the teams they have to go through to get through the AFC, right?
Man, I wonder what is going on in Orchard Park, New York. I really do. And I wonder how that fan base, Bills Mafia, is reacting to day one, at least.
That's an interesting team because they don't have anybody to throw the ball to yet. So they're picking, I shouldn't say they don't have anybody, but they don't have Gabe Davis or Stephon Diggs anymore. They are picking first in round two, then it's the Patriots, then it's the Cardinals.
Yeah.
So there's a couple really good corners still on the board, Wolf.
So, listen, it's interesting because I've got five names that I actually wrote down. Okay. Right? Now, this is not the Gambo Five, ladies and gentlemen. John actually reports on that stuff, all right? This is me looking at who's available, and I picked five guys that I really like.
These are guys that Wolf wants.
I have no inside information whatsoever on this.
Is Graham Barton one of them?
No, okay. Graham Barton is not one of them. All of course, he's gone.
I understand.
But number 26. Why did you bring that up?
I just wanted to make sure. Ever since we came up with Graham at Vertical, I wanted him on the team, too.
Yeah, I know. Graham at Vertical. You couldn't wait to actually.
No, and now
you're
going to
get royalties. You trademarked that.
Millions.
Listen, so the five guys that I thought, my goodness, five guys. How about that? I'm kind of hungry
that
right
sounds
now.
Good
that's
right
not
now.
Payola, ladies and gentlemen.
No, because there's nothing in front of us.
What could the Cardinals do at number 35? How about Kool-Aid McKinstry? How would that be? Here's a guy that I think is a first-round talent that suddenly is there. And, yeah, okay, he's available. And it's pick number 33 coming up here. But Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner opposite of Terrion Arnold. And Terrion Arnold, of course, was always expected to be the first corner from Alabama drafted. Tarion Arnold, everybody thought, was going to go number one, and then Kool-Aid would go. And yet Kool-Aid McKinstry is one of these guys, I talk about it all the time, he's a dog, he's a competitor.
All right, here's Kool-Aid McKinstry, who right now, I want to hear the other names you have, but that would be my top pick. For something that you've said quite a while now, Wolf, Nick Saban's a great coach.
Yes.
Specifically great coach for defensive backs. And that's why part of the reason why I wanted Tarion Arnold so badly last night, I didn't think it would be a possibility, but then all of a sudden he was there in the 20s before Detroit jumped up and ruined everything. But Kool-Aid McKinstry is still there.
Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback, Alabama.
A versatile corner who plays well, whether he's playing off the press or right up in that wide receiver's grill. He's also pretty on top of his assignment, and if he ends up a step or two off, he has the ability to get right back on the opponent's tail. He also gave up just one touchdown this past year in nearly 500 coverage snaps. While his coverage is great, his turnover production is low, just 2 interceptions over 3 seasons. By the way, yes, he did sign an NIL deal with Kool-Aid when he was a freshman. Oh, yeah. NFL comp, Saints cornerback Paulson Adebo.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
So that would be nice right there if you got 35, number 35, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Are we all going to bring in packets of Kool-Aid on Monday if they draft him?
Honestly, can I be real about something?
You can. Yeah.
This is giving me like Lou Anarumo vibes.
Oh, no. No, because I want I want Kool-Aid.
Because how much did you talk about Graham Barton at 27 and then it was picked right before you?
That's true.
I've been on that for a long time.
A long time. Yeah. When it was like he was going to be a second rounder, and then all of a sudden they had scouts saying,
okay, I get it.
Yeah. Maybe you should give us 5 players you don't want right now. Okay.
The Wolf Five. That's what we call it. 5 guys that won't be Cardinals. That's what we ought to do right there, right?
Yeah. I love it. We got to remember that for next year.
Kool-Aid McKinstry right there. Five guys that will not be Arizona Cardinals.
That's a shame.
Who are they?
Because I wanted Kool-Aid and you just ruled him out. So who else you got, Wolf?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to say these guys together. The next 2 guys I had, Ladd McConkey and Adonai Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those 2 guys right there together, wide receivers. 2 different kind of wide receivers. I think Mitchell is more of a guy that you can put out wide, put him on the perimeter. I think Ladd McConkey, it's not like he'd never go on the perimeter, but he's more of in the slot to me. His feet are special. This is a kid that ran a 4.39, yet he's not known for his speed, okay? This is a guy that doesn't maybe uses 4.39 very well when he's playing football, but his explosiveness in a short area is something that just jumps out on film when you watch this kid play.
Well, by virtue of you wanting Adonai Mitchell and Ladd McConkey, and that therefore we can just assume that the Cardinals won't get them, I'm going to quietly say if they don't get either one of them, Keon Coleman from Florida State still being out there, or Troy Franklin, maybe even a little bit later.
Yeah.
I'm interested in either of those 2.
Yeah. Honestly, right now, if I had my pick, Ladd McConkey would be the guy. I think, are you kidding me? Just with what the Arizona Cardinals have right now with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Wilson, of course, opposite of him. Now, all of a sudden, you take Ladd McConkey and you stick him as that slot receiver. Man, now all of a sudden, you've got some dynamic stuff going on with that offense. So I'd love to see him. So those are 3 guys right there. My 4th was Zach Frazier.
Mm.
Zach Frazier, the center from West by God, Virginia. Now all of a sudden you've got a possibility, right? A possibility of having Zach Frazier play guard or center on the inside. He's more than capable of being a center, and that's where his natural position is, but he also could be a guard. So there's number 4, and number 5, Jerzon Newton. Okay, and did I say that right?
You did.
Jerzon
Newton.
Jerzon Newton.
Jerzon, quote, Johnny, unquote, Newton. That's how he's known in this draft.
Defensive tackle from Illinois right now. Now, with what the Arizona Cardinals have done with Darius Robinson right now. I see Darius Robinson playing an awful lot of a three technique as well. He's 296 pounds. Yeah. This guy is big. He's 6'5". He's 296 pounds. I think he will come off the edge in some situations. I think he will. But I also think they're going to line him up inside. In fact, I know they're going to line him up inside many times and have him rush from a three technique, or maybe take him and stick him over the center. I mean, this is something that Zoe actually texted you something earlier in regard to doing that. They've done that before in the past. There was a guy by the name of Reggie White. Have you ever heard of Reggie White, ladies and gentlemen?
Pretty decent, great all-time.
Pretty good all-time best ever, if you ask me. They used to line him up a lot of the times over the center as well.
That's not fair.
And they would go ahead and form a solid or bare front. They would cover the center and both guards. And now all of a sudden, you had Reggie White lined up over the center.
That sucks so much to be a center and see Reggie White standing over you.
You might actually, to Zoe's point, you might actually see this with Darius Robinson as well. They're going to move him around.
Yeah. Gannon made that pretty clear when he was asked what he likes about him. He just kept saying versatility.
He said violence as well.
Well, he also did. He went through the V part of the dictionary. So was it Jerzon Newton? You also threw out
Zach Frazier.
By the way, Jackson Powers Johnson's still out there too.
Okay,
from Oregon, and then
but that's not the Wolf Five.
That's true.
Okay,
but I'm giving people options because the Wolf Five will not be there somehow for the Cardinals because that's how this always works.
Here's five Cardinals,
five non-Cardinals.
Are you seriously, Mel? Can you take us to break or? Somebody give me some coffee right now.
I was just going to say, I'm assuming Adonai Mitchell.
Five non-Cardinals.
Adonai Mitchell, I would assume, is going to Buffalo at number 33.
Okay, Rick.
Boy, anything goes in this final segment. Join Burns and Gambo at FanDuel Sportsbook in downtown Phoenix tonight from 2 to 6. The first 50 fans who come down and show their Arizona Sports app are going to score a limited edition Phoenix Suns playoff shirt. For complete details, head to the contest page on arizonasports.com. When we come back, how much of an issue is the Suns' offense internally? Shams thinks it's a big issue internally. We're going to react next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Yeah.
For Kevin Durant. Booker for the right hand jam.
See the shots that I took. Wet like I'm booked.
It's time to play Kevin or Devin on the Wolf and Luke Show.
Well, I'm hoping this isn't the final time we play Kevin or Devin this season. Game three tonight.
Do you guys want to do it for both games?
Should we do it for both? We probably should.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're going to go.
But wait, can I watch the first game before I pick the second?
It's not funny, Mal. Okay?
I'm laughing at something else, I'm sure.
By the way, I need to go home.
We're going to do game three first, though, right? We're not going to, pick, but okay.
So yeah, we're going to go game three. You know, and I'm going to start this thing because I just feel bold.
All right. Oh, I've got my pick, so go ahead.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, game three is tonight.
Yep.
Ron Wolfley reporting. Devin Booker is going to go off tonight. We might see a legendary game from D-Book tonight. In particular, one of these two games over the weekend, I expect him to go off, and I think it's going to be tonight, game three. Kevin Durant in game four. I'll take Book in game three and Durant in game four.
Well, that ruins what I was going to do.
Well, that's why I went first.
That's good move by you. I'm with you. I think we all know the season's on the line tonight. And so to me, at home, Devin Booker is going to bring everything he has. I don't love the Jaden McDaniels angle to this because he seems to be following Booker around more than anybody else. But I'm going to take Booker tonight. See, now because you took KD in game four, I'll make my game four pick in a second. I got Booker in game three. Aaron? You want me to do game four?
Yeah.
All right. Because Wolf ruined the game? All right. I'll go Kevin Durant in game four. It feels like KD. So no matter what, I'm not catching Wolf unless they extend the season.
I'm going KD tonight.
Okay.
And I'll go Book on Sunday.
Oh, boy, okay.
Well, all right then. All right. So, okay. Okay. Rick?
KD and KD.
KD
oh,
and
wow.
KD.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Rick went with the only sweep, the only KD sweep. No Book, huh? Just not feeling it.
No.
Okay. No reasoning? Not like.
I mean, I have some reason. I feel like he's a little bit checked out, personally.
Wow.
Oh.
Okay.
That hurt me, even just to hear that. If he's checked out, then these are the last two games we're playing this season.
I think he could get checked back in.
I think he's going to check back in tonight. But I will be honest. If they lose tonight, I definitely feel like KD's the answer for game four. Because I just feel like KD's pretty steady, going to give you, you know.
You know, what's so amazing. I know what you're saying, Luke, but a lot of people thought that Kevin Durant looked like he had checked out. Right? Like he quit, remember?
Yeah.
They were saying that after game two. It looked like he quit. And we were like, I didn't really think.
No, I don't think so.
I didn't think
I don't,
that.
I don't think
and I have heard some people actually say that nationally and locally.
He sure didn't sound like it in that audio we were playing earlier. I don't think either one of them has checked out, but I don't think KD's checking out. I'm almost talking myself into picking KD tonight, but you can't. There's no rule. There's no changes. So I'm going with Book and
KD. That's right, Luke.
No, it's official.
There's no changes right now.
We tried that once, and Rick Rollmaker laid down the law.
Yeah, here's the one thing I do expect. I expect the Phoenix Suns to come out, and we're going to see their best tonight. I expect that. Their backs collectively to the wall and individually to the wall right now. I think they're going to come out with focus, concentration, intensity, purpose. And because of that, I expect them to play their best game that we've seen. By far, their best game that we've seen in this series. Now, I know they've lost the first two games, but to me, I think we're going to see their best tonight, and they win game three. And then we'll see what happens game four.
Not only am I going with Book tonight, I'm going to go double-digit Book points in the first quarter tonight. You can mark that down. This is not like the Wolf 5, where you say things okay, and then the yeah, exact right. opposite happens. I think Devin Booker 10-plus points in the first tonight.
We got to come up with a different name for that, a better name for that.
Yeah, you know? We'll come. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we'll come up with it.
Five and out,
something.
Whatever just, you want's not going to happen.
What Wolf says, okay? You know, something like
that. Okay. Well,
we'll work on that. Basically.
We've got the whole weekend to workshop it. Here's Kevin Durant on if he feels like the Suns are getting enough quality looks.
Yeah. So I think in the playoffs, we're going to have to take tougher shots. I think sometimes, like you said, we passed up some. I think sometimes we got to take those shots over guys and just instead of passing it to the other team, you know. So, I like what we generated. We could just do more of it.
I agree with that. Take the tough shot instead of passing the ball to the other team, as yeah. KD just said.
Yeah, that would be big right there on the yeah. turnover thing, because we all know the way that has plagued the Phoenix Suns right now. You know what I want to see, though? I want to see the big three take it upon themselves to say, hey, listen, we realize that we are the most offensive of the group here on the floor. We are the most offensive players that are out here in terms of generating points. And because of that, we're going to take the responsibility upon ourselves to go out and score points. Now, listen, I don't mean just ISO ball every time up and down the floor. You got to move the ball. You have to do that. But I want to see them when the shot clock is ticking down. I want to see Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, or Devin Booker be the one shooting the ball the vast majority of the time.
All right, that's it for us today. Thanks to Aaron Maloney. Thanks to Jesse Morrison for Wolf. I'm Luke. We got Burns and Gambo joining us. Or they're just on next on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Marvin, do you feel like you have to prove anything?
I mean, yeah, you have to prove a lot of things. You don't come in here with any entitlement just because you were drafted, you know, fourth overall or one of the first receivers on the board. That doesn't mean nothing. You have to go in here, produce, earn the trust of your teammates, earn the trust of your coaches. You have a lot to prove. So no matter where you get drafted, I don't think, you know, you're entitled to anything. So you have to have a lot to prove.